Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure, I will fight cheerfully, and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds. To believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come learn with us. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv and listen to the podcast that we have. We have been doing this for a long time by the grace of God, and we've had many wonderful, wonderful programs, and tonight is another one of those. And as always, it's wonderful to me because, first of all, we ask God to be present, and He is just so faithful to answer us and just turn these shows into something really memorable. And so tonight we're going to start off, and I'd like to ask our co-host here with us tonight. Ms. Barbara is not on. I wish she was, but we are graced with the presence of Ruthie Bryant-White. And if you don't mind, Ruthie, would you please start us off with prayer?
Absolutely, absolutely, will do. Father, thank you so much for tonight's program. We thank you so much for the young people who took the time to be on tonight's program because they are going to give us some insights from a young person's standpoint on what we are doing and how our world is changing and what they are doing about it. So it's a pleasure having them on. But, Father, I thank you for giving us the time and giving us the place to be able to have such a venue and giving a voice to America. We just ask you, Father God, just to bless whatever their hands touch to prosper on good ground as they go forward in the blessings that you've called them to do in your name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Ruthie. And I ask God for a word. You know how I do that, Ruthie. Heard Ann Graham Lott says she does this too, and I love it when the Holy Spirit talks, because we were on, before we were on the show, you know, we were talking about when Jesus' ministry started. And guess what? I am turned to Mark 1, and it says Jesus' ministry in Galilee.
Wow.
And he was the fisher of men, right? The fisher of men. And I'm going to read a little bit about it because it's so awesome. I've got the Life Application Bible, and it's like a light bulb because, you know, it's all those little documents that you need to, you know, read the context, you know, the scriptures. The scriptures are beautiful, and they are a must read. But I'm looking at where it says in 1:11, there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I know of one proud mama that I hear a lot from. Very well pleased. But I'd like to say what the Life Application was saying on that 1:11. It says, "The dove and the voice from heaven were signs that Jesus was the Messiah. Many people want something tangible, visible, and real before they will believe. So Jesus did healings and other miracles, and God raised him from the dead. Still, people doubt. Will visible signs convince anyone? The sign that really brings us to faith is the power of God's message to answer the cry of the heart. To the confused, God offers a mind enlightened by faith. To the depressed, God offers a reason for joy. To the lonely, God offers eternal companionship. Don't look for a spectacular visible sign. Instead, seek a cleansed and renewed life as an evidence of his presence." And I think that is just powerful, and, you know, what a testimony of the Word of God and how you can really, you know, delve into it. And I remember Pat Robertson speaking before Chinese students, the smartest Chinese students, and they asked him, "How can you believe in God?" Because, you know, they're very smart, and I'm sure they've asked him a million questions on history. And he simply said, "Because I know he has changed me." And I can vouch for one person in here, because I've heard Tim's story. I can't remember it word for word and all the details, but I know that, you know, that's one example of a, you know, a person that knows that God is alive because God did change him. He lives within his heart. So I'm going to go ahead and let them introduce themselves a little bit. I guess I'll go ahead and let Tim, since I mentioned him first. Tim Bradley, if you don't mind saying a little bit about yourself, maybe four sentences, Tim, or more.
I pastor a church here in Enterprise, Alabama, Macedonia Baptist Church, and very passionate congregation there. I also am a chaplain for a couple of businesses around the area, and I get several opportunities a day to get out and meet with people and talk to people and just share the love of God with folks. And I enjoy every minute of it.
Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you. And Rob, if you don't mind, go ahead and tell us a little bit more than four sentences about yourself.
No problem. Sounds good. So my name's Rob Landis. Thanks for having me on the show. This is fun talking with y'all. I grew up in Utah. I live in Salt Lake City. I'm a musician. I play the violin, and I started playing the violin when I was about 3.5 years old, on a violin the size of about a Christmas ornament, which is when I got it was for Christmas. And I went to school for it. I got a bachelor's in music performance at BYU. I got a master's in music performance at Rice. So I know what it's like to live in or near the South, and pick up some of the language there, and I love the people down there, and I now make music videos, so you can check me out on YouTube if you'd like. You spell my last name Landes, L-A-N-D-E-S.
Thank you, Rob.
What does it say, Rob? What is it on YouTube? What did you say?
So if you just search Rob Landes, L-A-N-D-E-S, I make music videos.
Oh, that is
really
awesome.
I heard one of your videos, and I went bananas. You guys are really good. I love the work that you guys are doing. I mean, everybody should have you guys coming on their programs. They should have you on all the Star Search programs, everything that's out there, because you guys rock.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Glad you like the videos. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we can't help but see them, and they are every one of them. Every so often we get a treat. Somebody posts them for us, and it is wonderful. Well, I guess, you know, Ruthie, we are here. We've got a big event in January called It's About the Child Conference, and we are going to promote that event. And we'll talk a little bit about the challenge that we're going to bring to Rob and Kim. But let's set them up, because, you know, first of all, we want to know their perspective. And I guess we'll start this time with Rob. Rob, if you don't mind, you know, at your ripe age of 30, which you're young, got a lot of life and, you know, fun things to do. What are some of the good things that you are seeing around you in this country?
You know, I think people my age, you know, they see things happening around them that that can be unsettling, that can be kind of scary, and you know, what they really do, I think what that does when you see your friends in crises or people you love having difficult times, I think that really makes you reflect on who you are and what your values are and what you can do to make your life meaningful it sounds cliche, but, you know, make a difference in the world, but more like make a difference in other people's lives. And so I see people going out of their way, taking time to serve others, to share messages that are important to them, and really just try to love other people and just be as good as they can with people around them.
Well, that's great, because I think what you're saying is you are seeing, I guess, a lot more people being more thoughtful. Right, just not taking things for granted. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, I think so. There are definitely, I think at least the people around me, you know, we've all grown up in different types of circumstances. And I know for me, I had to work for a lot of what I have. And that built a lot of character in people my age. And that helps. I think not take things for granted and know that you have to come up with things on your own a lot of times, even though I've had, you know, I think a lot of us have good support networks for us to learn how to get things done on our own is really important.
You said something about people being scared, Rob. Can you elaborate a little bit about some of the young people and what their fears are? Because, you know, because it sounds like that a lot of kids don't have a strong foundation and they don't know where to go for help. Is that what you're saying in some of the people?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think a big part of it is they see the world around them changing so fast culturally, and they're just change is hard on humans, and we want to feel comfortable and secure and know that there's something we can always count on. And you know, for me, my faith in God and my religion is something that I can always look to and count on for something that that can sustain me even when I don't understand everything that's happening or why it's happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the core principle of faith is trusting in God that, you know, things will eventually work out in the end, mm-hmm. even if it's not in your timing or not the way that you want, that, you know, that things will turn out.
Well, you know, this situation that happened in Paris, you know, at the soccer game, I mean, are people thinking that it's going to come here? I mean, from the young people's standpoint, and I was going to ask Tim the same thing.
You know, I'm not sure that they're thinking that far ahead. I know that they want to be very accepting and loving to people who are in difficult circumstances. You look at the refugee crisis going on now, but you know, it's been, I would say it's been a while since we've had a major attack, except that we have had things in the last few years happen. And I'm not sure that that's really quite settled in for people my age yet. I mean, mm-hmm. I definitely think about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I, you know, I of course hope nothing like that happens to us, but it's scary when you see, because you look at Europe and you think that they were a safe place, and you see things like this happening all the time, and it makes you start to question things a little bit.
No, well, God is on the throne, that's for sure. Tim, what's going on? Because you are a minister, and so how is it that what is going on in the minds of the young people that you minister to? And you also said that you're a chaplain. So can you elaborate on what is happening in the community that you're serving?
I think for the most part, what I see in young adults and millennials, it's a terrible thing that has happened in Paris and some of the things that go on around the world. But I think largely it just seems so far away from this generation, you know, and while there may come some concern, the general attitude that I'm picking up, I mean, it's not really, it just seems so far away from them. As you get into the older generations, they've kind of wrestled with the world around them a little bit, and they're a little bit more engaged in these issues. But from what I'm seeing with the younger generation, they have that compassion about them to, you know, want to use their voice and be compassionate, you know, kind of, you know, whichever side of the political spectrum you are with the Syrian refugees. I mean, you know, they want to use a voice, but on the other hand, it just kind of seems so far away from them, and they're not really thinking, I don't think, about long-term consequences.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
is that
a great
thing
point?
Mm-hmm.
I think
absolutely.
That's a great point, Ruthie, and I think I've watched something just earlier tonight, and it's talking about the Holocaust, and it's talking about how modern-day Europe, they are having a Holocaust. Of course, part of our problem, I think, guys, is the media is not covering what's truly happening. Because if the media was covering, kind of like what we saw 9/11, you know, that's all you saw, right? I mean, you were up to date on what was happening with 9/11. If the media really covered what we're not seeing behind the scenes, I think the kids would have a different perspective, and that's the sad part. And I think that's why there's really a need for a national conversation on a lot of things, including the truth, because you don't get it anymore like you used to. You used to trust the media, but now it's all manipulated. They only allow what they want you to see. You know, and it's a dangerous thing, because what's happening in Europe, if you will get to really researching what's happening in Europe, Jews are not safe in Europe anymore.
Uh-huh.
And really, Europeans are no longer going to be safe in their countries anymore. And a lot of these countries that have opened their borders trying to get them in, hate to say it, the women are getting raped. I mean, 97% of the rape that happens in a lot of these countries are from these, you know, they're not refugees anymore. They've been there for a while now. And so, unfortunately, the facts are not being shared. And to me, that's a dangerous thing because me and Ruthie's getting older, and a lot of us are, you know, getting older.
Mm-hmm.
But the future really belongs to y'all. And you know, God is a God of truth, right? He says, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I heard tonight is because the majority was silent in Germany, the result is what we saw. And that is what's going on right now because the majority is silent. But in our case here in America, I think the majority is silent, like the majority of young people. You know, we need to be benevolent. We need to be kind. This is conspiracy to think that something like that's going to happen here. I think it's because there is a control, and to tell the truth, they're not getting the truth. And I think
that's why
Ruthie
and I are concerned. You're absolutely right. You know, Diana hit on something last night when she was talking to me. I was looking at a movie. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but I suggest that you do. And before you have the young people watch it, and it's about the war, but it's the first time I have ever seen a movie about the Holocaust where the young people were actually defending themselves. Now, if you know anything about Poland, just before the war started happening, Poland pulled out within 30 days of the war and left the people alone to be able to fight for themselves. And so the young people came together and they got whatever they could get to fight back. And I think that people should really see it. One of the stars is known from the hit TV show Friends, and it's called Unstoppable. And these young people and kids had to fend for themselves. They had to go underground, and they actually wrote letters. This is historical, and they wrote letters, and they put them in milk jars, and people found them many, many, many years ago. I mean, many, many years after this happened, of course, I think in the maybe 2000s or something like that, and then they made the movie about it. It is profound, and I recommend that people watch it because what I'm seeing is exactly what they missed out on, and people that were like, especially like the rabbis and stuff, who were complacent until it got so out of hand that the person who was in charge of the council, the Jewish council, he killed himself and everything because he couldn't stop what happened, but he wasn't doing anything in the beginning to try to stop it, and when he did, it was too late. They killed a whole truckload of little boys for no reason. And he couldn't do anything about it. He was supposed to be in charge. And then another thing happened that I hadn't paid attention to. I had seen this Unstoppable movie probably almost 50 times now. And I hadn't realized that the police that were helping the Jewish people be killed were actually Jewish people themselves. And what happened to them, I understand that after they got through putting their own people on the trains to be killed, they were killed too. So after they did the dirty work of Hitler, then they were killed as well. So this is something that people and young people need to know about. They need to know it could happen here, and they need to be prepared. And we don't need to get rid of our guns. I can tell you that now.
But we have hope. But we have hope, and I think that's what I heard from Rob is, you know, even though things are tough, he has this mindset. And I know, Rob, you know, you've already had, I'm sure, rough times. So you've been tested, and you found that faith true. So if anything, probably you came out stronger after whatever it was that happened to you, right?
Yeah, and it's if you don't have those hard times, then you never have a reason to turn to anybody else besides yourself. And so that's what really forges those foundational concepts. But, you know, going back to what Tim said, I really agree that I think people, especially my age, we kind of feel like we're invincible. And, those atrocities and those tragedies that happen overseas just seem so far away. And I don't think we really realize how close it is to coming our direction. And
because I think, you know, the worst thing we've had to live through is 9/11, and that was terrible, and people remember that. But by now, that's almost 15 years ago. I think he does have a good point. It seems so far away for a lot of people.
Wow.
God says remember. You know, remember is a very important word. I'm sorry, Ruthie. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, you're right. Go ahead. I was going to say something similar.
I think remember is a very important word. And, you know, they were saying about the Jews, you know, because they've had to protect themselves by being quiet and not showing themselves as a Jew. Therefore, they can't do a lot of the feasts, you know, over there in Denmark. I mean, they're mm-hmm. scared. And it's mm-hmm. like people mm-hmm. have forgotten who they are. You know, people, mm. young people are growing up. And to me, that's very dangerous. You know, I love that God's word says for us to remember and write it down, you know, because our memory is really short. But can you mm-hmm. imagine if the textbooks and everything is wiped away? You know, it's like a building. I remember going to Montgomery and seeing nothing at a place that I've always seen this building, State House Inn, they call it. One day I come, there's nothing there. And I thought, you know, you have just changed the mindset of future people who will never remember that was ever there. And mm-hmm. and we're like that. I mean, our young mm-hmm. people, and that's where Tim, you and Rob, you already have a sense, I believe, on some of the things that really must happen. And Tim, you probably, you know, in a way, there's probably an urgency inside that the children really learn the truth, and you know, and thank God for the word of God. But I think more than just, I mean, that is awesome to learn the word of God, but they also really have to keep up with what's going on around them, because the enemy is a liar, right? He's busy mm-hmm. lying to them and saying, oh, you know, that's a conspiracy theory. You really have to be kind and just let those people in, because they don't know any better. They will believe it.
And they don't do research because they listen to Fox News and CNN and MSNBC that are giving them a bunch of nonsense, and they don't understand what's real. So they're taking 5 seconds of news, and they're taking it as the gospel, and then they're going out and they're all repeating it to one another, and they just become an assembly line of just saying the same propaganda nonsense.
Well, and it's worse than that, because I'm thinking Tim and Rob, you know, kids are so connected to their iPads now and so many entertaining things. It's almost like, and you know, they're just disconnected to what's going on, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, do they even know who the president is sometimes? I wonder. Tim? Does these kids... Go ahead.
I was going to agree. I think where parents and other family members, where they neglect to raise their children or those in their families, TV is happy to raise your children. Radio or, you know, the iPad or video games, those things are happy to raise your children. And they're being indoctrinated with something. Mm-hmm. They're learning something from somewhere. And if we don't implant our Christian worldview and teach them how to think, there's going to be plenty of voices in this world that implant a different worldview.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. That's exactly, absolutely right.
You know, I almost hear as if, you know, we have to apologize that we were founded on the Word of God. You know, and it's like mm-hmm. people don't realize that our Constitution really is based on the Word of God. And, you know, if they found out, I mean, they just can't believe it. I mean, I just remember, I think, Judge Moore being interviewed by a reporter, and the reporter telling him where, you know, our laws came from. He had no clue. He had no clue. And that was, I can't remember if it was a CNN or probably an NBC reporter, because they, you know, they're just terrible. But, but you know, and that's an adult. That's an adult, but... So I really, you know, I love what you just said, because I think, you know, it's like I've always heard garbage in, garbage out. So really kids, Ruthie has said, kids are going to be in the media. You just about cannot take them away. So it's really important to have an alternative, which is what we're going to try to do for the kids. with a new channel that's going to be clean. And Rob, you know, I think people would love to see your work in there. If there's any way possible, we can work that. I know Ruthie would love that, but you know, it will be a draw because your work is so wonderful. It will be a draw. But at the same time, they don't have to be surprised in the middle of a wonderful show like that with some kind of lurid commercial, you know. And
absolutely.
And, you know, that takes away from, you know, what's being put before them, because it's hard really to find those kind of channels where, you know, you can just stick the child in front of there and let them enjoy something and not get a surprise or for yourself and for the child in the middle of the show. And Rob, I know you're getting a lot of feedback probably on your work. It's refreshing to see that kind of work. And what are some of the feedbacks, if you don't mind sharing, that you're getting from young people about your work?
Well, so when I went to I went to grad school at Rice, which is they have a really incredible music school. They've got great teachers, and it's a fantastic institution, and I improved as a player and as a musician a lot there. And I just got an email from a friend who was there, and she said that a lot of the students and some of the staff have been posting my videos on their social media because it's so new to them, and they enjoy it, they like it, it's creative, it's innovative. And you know, at school, there were really only a few ways that it seems like you can make a profession in the classical music industry. And what this does, what I've been doing, to kind of show that there are other ways to make a living with music. And so it's exciting for them. And you know, I've had some success with some of the videos. And so I think it really opens up the perspectives of my friends who play music for what they can do. And even outside of musicians, just people who see me. I mean, I sales for a software company up for about 3 years until the end of July, just this past summer, when, you know, I wasn't enjoying my job like I used to, and my music was taking off, and I got really excited about that, and finally was able to quit my job and do music full time. And you know, I had several people come up to me and say that they really admired what I was doing, they thought it was really brave, and they wished that they could, you know, drop the job that they had and just go do what they loved, like I was doing. So it was really great, some really great feedback and really encouraging for me to hear from them. That's what I tell people. I get that from my sister. I have a younger sister who, you know, she does what she loves. She trains horses and she goes wherever it takes her and, you know, creates.
Wow.
Oh
my God, these are the kind of things we need to hear about. What you and Tim and your sister and stuff are doing, these are the kind of things young people need to hear about. And that's why, you know, that's why the conference, which Diane's going to talk about in a few minutes, is going to be so important, because we're going to have a couple of young speakers that are going to be there that actually have done something in their life. One of them is only 16 years old and fought a court case that was all on Fox News about a couple of months ago. And she won her case just to have a pro-life club and things like that. I am drawn to seeing the future do something with themselves and trying to use whatever vehicles that God has given to be able to help that come to pass. And so when you're talking about what you're talking, I was blown away by your music, but I was also blown away when I listened to Tim when we were in Alabama a few weeks ago, and just at the table talking to him, you know, the same thing, you know, it's like, you know, his gift is absolutely being around young people, and he is funny. And I fell in love with him and stuff like that. And these are the kind of things that people need to see. That's what the kids need to see. And we have, the narrative has been on the other side of saying all kinds of negative things and doing all kinds of negative things, and the kids are just eating it up because they don't know any better. And we've got to change that, and that's what we plan on doing.
Well, I think they're out of the box thinkers, Ruthie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Angelique was. I mean, can you imagine suing a system?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Rob doing what he's doing, and Tim, they're out of the box thinkers. And I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know that I know who raised Rob, and really, he is a testimony of a
mm-hmm.
mom, a parent, rather, who allowed their child to be the best he can be. You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's missing nowadays. Oh, yes. That is missing in our public schools
yep.
these days, because the children are being forced, really. And I hate to say it, in our state of Alabama, we made an F. And I think the name is, we were the lowest. It came out. Eagle Forum just posted that, but we had been like number 25 in this and number that, and we were even really reading. Our reading was doing so well that other states were looking at our reading because we were like, you know, just almost number one as far as in the change, and
mm-hmm.
and the math also minorities. We were like one of the top states that had such a change, you know, big percentage gain. So our program has fallen because, as you probably already know, there is a program called Common Core State Standards Initiative that is not really about education. It's about miseducation. And I thank God for the mental health community that has shown us, you know, it's developmentally inappropriate. That's why children are stressing. They're learning to hate math. They're learning to hate reading. They're learning to hate everything because it's so negative. The stories are negative. You know, children are growing up being world reading that we have to apologize for being America because we've done so much harm the world over. So, you know, it's garbage in, and what you will get is garbage out, which is dangerous, dangerous for families, dangerous for children. And let's face it, the bottom line, Tim, is dangerous for souls. You know that. Because there's enough stress. And are you seeing, Tim, more stress in public school kids?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Hands down, more stress. I mean, and I think you can trace it back just right when we started taking God out of schools.
Mm-hmm.
We started seeing this implanting of what's there now. And we had this, you know, these problems. We get people walking in and just shooting up schools, and we're just completely missing the sanctity of human life now. And it's just crazy.
And so do you think, see, and that's the thing, you know, these kids are being bombarded with all kinds of stuff. And then they're being told, okay, we've got a safe zone, a gun zone in this area, and that's the very area that's going to be targeted by some nut with a bunch of guns and stuff like that. So it's like the media is playing on this whole thing. And, you know, I sometimes I wish that they would all be arrested because when they cause problems like this and open their mouths about things and stuff, and then people get involved and learn about this nonsense that they're doing, that they're allowed to talk about from their upper management or owners of the news station, it's no longer really news. It's propaganda. And so what we've got to do, we've got to change that because, again, the young people don't know any different. They're watching their cell phones and their laptops and their iPhones and their iPads all day long, and plus what they are having to do in school. This is messing up their minds, and they don't even understand what's going on. There are a bunch of zombies walking around and stuff like that, and so we've got to change that narrative.
We do, and music isn't music anymore. And so when you hear something like Rob's music, it's like, wow, this is the real deal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It is refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
It is new, and it's timely. And I know it's got to be kind of exhilarating, Rob, when you know that you are doing something that, you know, is so natural for you?
You know, I grew up in a very musical family. I've got six siblings, and that's how my parents taught us to work, is they had us play music, because we would have to practice every day, just like if we were going to do chores or homework before we could go out and play. So we learned how to do hard things and get through hard things even when we didn't want to. You know, in the end, there are rewards to it, and even if you don't see them until years and years later. And I think it's a good lesson for people to learn that, you know, it wasn't always natural for me. When I was a kid, I didn't like practicing. I didn't think I was very good. And so, I mean, as much as there may be some kind of innate talent or gift, there's so much work that goes into it, and there's so much, not just for myself, but from teachers and parents and other people who have helped me with it, that you know, things of value can take a lot of time to develop.
Yeah, well, it really can't. Well, you know, I have to take my hat off to all you guys, because I'm going to tell you, I grew up with my mom's family. They're all ministers, my mother's family. And all of their kids played the piano. Every time we went over to somebody's house, they were playing the piano. They had to. They were taking piano lessons. And I used to say, why are boys playing piano? What is the good thing about a boy playing the piano? I'm like, girls should be the one playing the piano. But now, you know, he's a composer. One of my good, very good cousins, he's a composer, and he traveled around with Sinbad and stuff like that. And he is a wonderful composer, lovely Christian and everything, very soft-spoken and stuff like that, very sweetheart and everything. But now I understand what he was being trained for. I don't even think his mother knew what he was being trained for. I think she probably thought he was going to be a pianist in the church or something. But he is you know, he loves God and everything, and all his music is nice and clean, like yours and stuff. I thought I'd get some of his music. He's about my age, but way a little bit younger, maybe 5 or 6 years younger than I. But you know, this I appreciate now more of seeing people playing music and you guys doing the music thing, and more than I appreciate it a whole lot more than I did when I was a kid, I'll put it like that. I understand it more.
Rob, if you ever need a spoons player for one of your music videos, man, I am your guy.
Wait, I just said if I need what?
If you ever need a spoons player for one of your music videos, I am your guy.
I heard that. Well,
I've heard that before.
Jim, I'm sure I can work you into a concept here soon. A spoons player. we could do an Adele song for violin and spoons.
Oh my God.
I think we're going to have to bring them together, Ruthie. We're going to have to bring them together.
Or bring Tim and his crew to Utah, and then we all have to meet them up there in Utah and all that.
Or, better still, they just need to come to the It's About the Child Conference, January 29th through 31st. Okay,
that's
going
to be the end place. Okay, let's talk about that name. Let me just talk about what happened today. you guys know about the It's About the Child Conference, and actually, Rob, your mom has been very instrumental in being bad with us. We are doing this pie in the eye and pie in the face thing. I know you probably heard of it by now.
Yeah, she told me about it.
And so what's happening is, guys, Tim, is that we're asking people to do a pie in the face for the child. And everybody that challenges you, people are doing it a little different each place. But every time somebody challenges you, they go to the It's About the Child site and go to the 700 Valiant place and put a contribution between $10 and $70 in to make like your mom, a Valiant member, or whoever is going to do the challenge, a Valiant member, besides all your friends and all your family members contributing at least $10 to the It's About the Child site and the 700 Valiant member place link. And so what's happened is I've been on the radio all week long out of a Fox News radio program out of Reno. And he has had me on Monday evening at 5 o'clock, and then it re-airs on the next day at 5 o'clock in the morning. And then he asked me to come on Wednesday, and I did the same thing, and it aired this morning. And then he asked me to come on tonight, and it's going to air tomorrow morning what I talked about tonight. But what happened was, I was talking to him about having other radio hosts. His name is Eddie Floyd out of Reno, and he does his radio program live in the mall, the Reno Town Mall up in Reno. And he's going to take a pie in the face for the child on the day after Thanksgiving. And so what he told me today is that he's going to challenge another radio host that goes on Fox News, Sean Hannity's show a lot, Kevin Jackson, who's a part of Black Sphere Radio. He's going to challenge him tomorrow to do the same thing he's doing. Now, Kevin has a lot of listeners and stuff like that. So what I was telling him, I said, why don't we get a lot of radio hosts to take the challenge? Now, I know a lot of radio hosts, and I'm trying to get in touch with them. They're probably shying away because they really don't want a pie in their eye. But this is important for the child. And so now it's starting to get a little bit of momentum, and we're trying to get everybody involved in it. So that's kind of what we're doing, guys.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. I'll take a pie.
Yes.
Charity.
Yes. And so that means, Rob, that means you might have to take a pie, tell everybody to take a pie and video it, because we're having everybody video it and put it on the site, on the social media, so that everybody can see, you know. And then we're probably going to end up putting it on the site somewhere on the It's About the Child site. I think we probably will be doing that too. But that's what we're looking at right now.
Get a little Adele song with some spoon playing in the background.
Oh,
whatever
there you go.
You want. Everything, whatever you want to do.
That's going to go viral, Tim. Be prepared.
It probably will. Hey, we can have a Twitter event. We're going to have one this Sunday, by the way. Go to aboutthechild.com, and you'll see a rectangular box in red, and at the very bottom it says we're going to do a Twitter rally. Click on this link, and so you go there, and you click, which you can do that every night before then too, and every night after. But click on the link, and where it says enter here, you will go into the chat room Sunday night and help us. You know, if you can start as early as 6, we're there early, but it says 8 to 10 official, but really you can be there early or all day and or as soon as you can and start tweeting. It's fun because you get to hear videos, you get to hear interviews. We're going to have some interviews. So it's really fun, but it's for a good cause because we know the children, unfortunately, are in trouble. There is actually a true story of a Pied Piper. Rob, your mom shared that with us. She looked it up. Mm-hmm. She's such a researcher. And it's a pretty serious story where the children were led out of a town to their execution. It actually happened in the 1200s. And so what we're feeling is something, there's modern day, I hate to say it, Pied Pipers. The truth is, New York is one of the first states to wake us up to the severity of the situation, because when they got this standard common core that's developmentally inappropriate, Mary Calamia, a licensed clinical social worker from New York, her caseload went up 300%. The first ones to come in were 8th grade honor students cutting themselves. And she went and spoke before their state board of ed and even talked about, you know, that it led one to try to commit suicide. Now, there was an article that I had read earlier this year, South Dakota legislator ties deaths of students, suicides, to that inappropriate standards that they're teaching. It's just, you know,
parents expect the child to keep on studying, making the good grades, but the child cannot tell them the problem is not the child, but it's what she's being taught. So it causes so much stress, and if a child already has other stress, it's like, you know, it's just too much. So this is, you know, we're trying to do this because we're not going to be quiet. You know, we're not going to take it like, you know, and just be a silent majority. We're going to do something, and we appreciate you guys coming on board. You know, a lot of the young people's going to have fun with trying to put, I'm sure, a pie on Tim's face. I'm sure they'll be lining up. And, Rob, I don't know about you. I'm sure there'll be some of your friends lining up to do that, too. But it will, in all seriousness, it will help us because we've got to have this national conversation on what's going on in the schools so that more parents will know it is not the child that's the problem. It's what's being forced in that child's brain that's causing so much stress. And we want to help that child not fight alone. That child should not fight alone. So we want their parents throughout the country to hear us out. And that's what they're going to go do, is they're going to sign up, hopefully, for that live stream. It's only $10 for Friday, an A through Z on Common Core, Saturday, Presidential Candidates Town Hall Cruise Campaign. They've already gave us a go-ahead to put that they are coming. So that is awesome. And then Sunday, it's a national prayer of restoration because I am proud to say that I live in a country that was blessed and is still, I hope, blessed by God. You know, and we know that when Great Britain then was the bad guys, you know, God did answer their prayer because they really had no chance. It's kind of like what we're seeing right now. You just about cannot get to the enemy because you can't see the enemy and you don't know who the enemy, and they're going to hide in the refugee. Uh-huh. But, you know, but the founding fathers knew that they could bend their knees and bow their head, and there is the one that makes a difference. And that, you know, and so we're going to do that on that Sunday, that national prayer of restoration, because we certainly need his help again. You know, we're under tyranny and we need deliverance for the children, for our families, and really y'all for the future.
Sure do.
You know,
this is about you guys' future and your kids' future and things like that. You're absolutely right, Diana. You know what? I was going to ask you guys, so Rob, you just got through talking about that, all the guys, the kids and stuff in the music world and stuff like that. I think you guys could start a complete storm in that whole industry and in the schools and stuff like that by you accepting a challenge to do a pie in the face for the child. I know that they would go bananas over that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well,
I think you could do a video, Rob. Maybe a video is coming.
Yeah, yeah, maybe it's
but
a short
I'm
little,
sure
yeah, little pie video.
Yeah, see, that
oh,
would be so cool. That would be so cool. And you know that all your friends would pick it up, and you too, Tim, and all this stuff going on, and then everybody's stuff going viral. That would be so fun and so important. You know, it's a serious thing that we're talking about, but doing something kind of lighthearted, well, you know, always gives everybody's attention. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, all the serious things that we've been talking about, you know, when we said we're going to do this pie and the eye thing, it just seems to just be taking people by, like, excitement because it's like, you know, they know we deal with serious things all of the time. It's always depressing. And to have something cool to do, yet fun for the same cause, I think it's really ringing a bell. It's really starting to resonate with people. And you guys, being young, can carry on with us, and we could just really, you know, make a lot of change.
Yeah, one lot at a time. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry.
I was going to say, yep, that sounds like a great thing. Let's do it.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I remember there was a song, Go Light Your World. I can't remember the name of the lady that sang. Beautiful song. And I just picture, you know, one candle, right? One candle in a dark world, and then another person lights up their candle, and then when everybody lights up the candle, you know, it's pretty bright, right? Ours is just a little attempt. It's like that one little candle, a pie, one person doing a little bit of something, what they can do. But, all mm-hmm. of us together, kind of locking hands, in the spiritual sense, I think it's going to mean a lot. It's going to mean a lot to God that we're trying our best. And I'm just believing God's going to, have a miracle coming our way because he is, he's a God that hears our plea. He did that for the founding fathers. And one thing we know for sure, right, Tim, God changes not, and his love mm-hmm. endures forever. Right, Tim?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. So, I want to ask you guys, would you guys please give your information so people can reach you? And then I think that you guys should also take this audio, get the link from it, send it to everybody you know and stuff like that so that they can hear this program. This is because City on the Hill, we're doing a new thing, and Breaking News Journal, we have Breaking News Journal on air radio and City on the Hill TV.tv, and we're doing the Breaking News Journal channels and all that stuff. And these people, we're doing all this so that people can start becoming aware of what's happening. So anyway, would you guys give your information before Diana says, time's up?
My email is timbradley04@yahoo.com. That's timbradley04@yahoo.com.
And what's the name of your church? And are you on Facebook or anything like that?
Yes, my church is Macedonia Baptist Church, and I'm on Facebook, and my church is on Facebook.
Okay. All right, you guys hear that out there, make sure you go. Make sure you tell him that you saw him or heard him on City on a Hill, and so, so he didn't know that you were there. Okay, and Rob?
Yep, so my name is Rob Landis, L-A-N-D-E-S, and I'm on YouTube, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, Rob_Landis. I'm on Twitter, Rob_Landis. So you can check out my videos and photos and get insights into some of my upcoming projects and performances.
Well, that is good. And now tell people how when you're talking business, how do they hire you to do their programs, or what kind of programs do you normally do, concerts and stuff like that, and how do they, is that...
So I play for corporate events, and I open for bands, and so you can if you contact me, check out my email. It's robertlandis1@gmail.com, and I will put you in touch with my agent and to see if we can work out a performance, because I'd love to come.
You have an agent?
Yeah.
Oh, he needs one.
You have the best manager. You have the best manager in the world. Your mom is one of the best managers in the world. Why come you didn't hire her to be your agent?
Well, she's got too
She's probably got her hands full. I think, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I'm sorry, Jill. I'm sorry, Jill.
You forgot she has this, too, Ruthie.
Oh, that's true.
Well, Rob, let me go ahead and say that you are just a testimony, I think, of, I look at your mama's bio, and I understand full well why she mentions her children. Because that's a testimony that when you let them be the best they can be, great things happen. So really, it just struck me one night reading her bio, and I saw those things that you children are doing. It's just a testimony. Goodness, thank you so much. But I'm going to go ahead. We're going to close so people can hopefully hear this closing prayer. Tim, if you don't mind, would you please pray for those that are lost? Things are bad and dark, but thank God we have that rock that Rob was talking about. Would you mind sharing that and closing in prayer?
Absolutely. Father, thank you so much for what you've given us and how much you've blessed us and how much you love us. You just love us unconditionally, even though we do the things we do, and sometimes we just drag your name through the mud, but you just love us anyways. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be less about information and more about transformation, that you would help us to reach out, to share that gospel in a way that would just transform lives like you've transformed mine. And, Father, we just lift you up and we pray that you be glorified. And we love you and we praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
wow.
you. Wonderful young men. Wonderful, strong young men. Wonderful, this happy, godly men. And I'm just so proud to have you guys on the program tonight. And I really look forward to seeing you guys in Houston.
Wow, we are looking forward to that. Yeah, oh, thank you, Rob, and yes, Tim. And Ruthie, it's time to go, but I just, you know, I thank God for God's word because, you know, that Mark 1, it's got on 16, it's, you know, four fishermen followed Jesus. I've got a feeling that, you know, a lot of people is going to be following these two young men.
Mm-hmm.
I think God's going to use them. He's already using them for great things, but I wonder if he's not going to use them to be fishers of men. I really think that. So, oh, my goodness. Well, God is good. He gives us hope and, you know, and his word, my goodness, is sweeter than honey. So, folks, I hope you'll get your Bible and read the story of God's amazing grace for you and for us.
Yeah.
God bless you. Please go to www.cityonhill.tv. And, hey, share the podcast. Have a good evening,
Amen.
Everyone. Goodbye.
Amen. Have a good one. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks a lot. Good night.